How's it going, guys? Empty the Specialist here. Just me today. We're here with Rob Lalonde. That's how I pronounce it, right?
It's Lalonde, but...
Rob Lalonde from Butt Ends. He's a former professional hockey player, and he's leading one of the coolest equipment changes in hockey right now. How's it going, Rob?
Cool, man. Thanks a lot for having me on. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you coming on. So I've read a lot of articles, so just, you know, the one on the site, but for a lot of the viewers might not know, like I know my grandmother watches and I don't think she is up to date on hockey equipment stuff, but how did the idea of the Butt End come to be and what exactly is it?
So if you're not familiar with hockey, you know, in general, so if it's your first time ever seeing a hockey stick, you'll notice that players oftentimes tape the top of their stick so that they can get a good handle for their top hand, you know, which is the point of contact that's always on the stick. And coming up as a player, I was always doing what everybody else did, taping my stick and wrapping it with tape. And as I got to the higher levels of hockey, I started to notice, you know, an equipment change, and I was always looking for ways to optimize my performance and, you know, get the best equipment possible. And, you know, taping the top of my stick, I was having problems. It was becoming, you know, it was getting wet in my hand. It was slipping a little bit. You know, the tape was wearing down and started to look kind of ugly. And I wanted to look, you know, really good out there in my equipment. And also too, like I'd go to take a slap shot sometimes during games and, you know, I'd have misfires. Like the stick would spin in my hand and I wasn't getting that good grip that I wanted on the top of my stick. And, you know, I was thinking one day in the locker room, like, there's got to be a better way to do this. Like, there's got to be something better than just, like, you know, wrapping tape by hand before games. And it was kind of like a light bulb moment when I thought of it. And I was like, well, you know, if I'm thinking that, there's got to be other players out there that are thinking the same thing. And so that's kind of how the idea got started. And then, like, literally once I started thinking about it that way, I just became kind of obsessed. And I started asking other guys if they were having issues. And, you know, I quickly noticed that it was like a common thing, you know, for guys to be complaining about their top hand and like what was happening there. And if you go to the rinks and you look at players, you know, the way they tape their sticks, a lot of times it's like a time consuming process that like takes guys a lot of time. And you'll see most players don't want to have, once they tape it once, they don't want to take the time to redo it, you know, so they don't take it off and they don't redo it. And it looked, you know, it very quickly wears down and becomes a problem. So it was just a problem that we wanted to solve. And, you know, that was like how the idea came to, you know, to be. And then, you know, as we moved further along, it started to realize, like, you know, if you could invent a product to put it on the, you know, on the outside of someone's equipment, you know, when you see a picture of like a pro player, for example, you know, skating down the ice, if they were using that product, all of a sudden, you know, from a branding perspective, it seemed like a really good idea, you know, that you could really grow the idea that way. And for me, that was really exciting.
So I guess that's a good segue to another question I had. So you talked about pro players. I know that like Ryan Kessler and Josh Manson tested it out, right? But did anybody in the NHL use it last season?
Yeah, we've got like a couple dozen players that were using them last year. Nice. We even had last year we had two players in the All-Star game using them, which is really cool. Josh Manson is a guy that he's been using them for a few years now. It's actually a cool story with the Anaheim Ducks equipment manager, Muggsy. He was my old equipment manager when I played in the American Hockey League in Iowa. And at that point, I had the idea for Butt Ends, but I was playing pro hockey and I was really focused most of my time on playing. And, you know, I wasn't really spending a whole lot of time working on the business side of it. I was doing things to progress it along. But I had the idea for Butt Ends at that point. And Muggsy and I were good buddies while I was playing, you know, playing pro. And I didn't even really put two and two together, but we were at the equipment manager's trade show over the summer. And, you know, promoting our business when we had launched it, and he came over to me and we were hugging it out. Hey, what's up, man? And he's like, oh, I'm with the Ducks now. And he's like, oh, I'll bring these in the locker room and I'll show them to the guys. And, he brought them into the Ducks room and, it was great. He got Getzlaff in them. He got Henrique start using them. And, Josh Manson was another guy that started using them as well. So yeah, last year, I think we had three or four Anaheim Ducks players in Butt Ends.
So is it like that for the rest of the league too, where it's like a few guys on one team that are sort of like, you know, like echoing each other, like, hey, this is awesome, you should try it out?
Yeah, it's you know, there's you know, guys are real picky. And you know, I love, whenever I show up to an NHL rink, you know, I get the feedback I get from guys is you know, a lot of times they're surprised, you know, players are a little guarded about new things, but when I bring the product personally and I show it to them, or sometimes we'll just send them blind, you know, I've got guys messaging me a lot online that want to try them and stuff. It grows pretty quickly when one guy sees one guy, like, that's kind of what was my idea. Like, you're in the locker room, you're always watching to see what the other players are doing. You know, when the other guy gets a new stick or new technology comes out and you see that he's using it, for me as a player, I always like, well, I got to try that too. You know, if he's going to have a stick that's shooting, you know, harder, he can feel the puck better. You know, he's got the new blades, new skates. Like, I always want to try new things. So I was like thinking the same thing with butt ends. And, you know, we've seen definitely, you know, players that are influenced by other players at the NHL level. It's still tougher, you know, than I thought it was going to like kind of be a little bit more like it would explode and every player would want it, but it's still sort of a niche product, even at the NHL level, but still it's cool. It seems like we always get like good traction with the, you know, with the young players. And then like the captains, like we've got like, you know, we've had like a bunch of captains in the NHL. Like I mentioned, Getzlaff, Blake Wheeler's using them. Alex Pietrangelo, like it seems like the top players, and then like the peewees are really into butt ends.
So I you know, I'm just looking through the site, you know, just, and you guys also do lacrosse stuff. How is that is different than hockey? Is that taking off at a different rate per se or?
Yeah, lacrosse came to us sort of, you know, it was never really thought of as like the thing that we would do. But then as we started working with butt ends, you know, lacrosse is a very, like, it's like the cousin sport of hockey. And, you know, we'd be doing hockey shows and traveling around, meeting a lot of hockey players that were playing lacrosse in the fall and the spring during, you know, their off season. And they were like, hey, can you use these on lacrosse sticks? So we started doing our homework and looking into the lacrosse market. And we noticed it was a very similar process where players are creating their own grips with tape. And very quickly in lacrosse, you're outside, you're in the sunshine, you're in the dirt, you know, and it's the grip, the tape would become disgusting. And these really nice lacrosse sticks were covered with this like gross tape job. So we basically did the same thing we did with hockey, was look at what the common player was doing as far as style for tape, you know, the number one common style. And we created what we thought would be like a universal grip for that sport as well. And we took it into the market just like we did with hockey. We would go to lacrosse tournaments and we would go and set up, you know, at big events where we get a large audience of people and show off the product and introduce ourselves to the customers and do one-on-one, you know, hand-to-hand sales. And it was cool. Hockey's a much bigger market, and it's really my, like, I'm a hockey player. I grew up playing hockey, so I never played lacrosse. So it was really fun for me to go into that market and work with the lacrosse players, you know, as somebody who never played it. But I got a lot of respect from those guys, and I had a lot of fun, you know, trying to grow that part of the business. And it's definitely nice to have, especially now people are still hitting us up all the time. Like, you know, do you have one for lacrosse? And it's fun to be able to point them to that product.
So I switching lanes a little bit, yeah. Just ask some questions about hockey. So one of my favorite questions to ask guys who played at much higher levels than I did is, who's the best player you ever played with or against?
Wow, good question. Best player I ever played with. Would probably, the best name to come to mind would have to be Jonathan Quick. I mean, he's going to be like, what, a future Hall of Famer at this point, maybe the best American of all time. He's just a beauty as well. He's a great dude. I played with him in Reading for a full season. It was his first year, my second year pro, and watching him, like, you know, playing in front of him, it was just inspiring. He was so sick, and it was fun to watch and fun to be a part of his career. As far as an opponent goes, who's the best opponent I've ever played against? Maybe PK Subban. I played against him in the American League. He'd be like a top guy to think about if he just came to mind. So PK.
Yeah, no, I get to see Quick like one or two times before he went pro, because we're based out of New Hampshire, so we got to see Manchester play. So okay, I guess another sort of a hockey question that, so when you said, you know, AHL and stuff. So you were on loan in the AHL, and I know how that works for soccer. How does it work for hockey? Because it's sort of like, it looked like multiple times in the season, you just sort of got to travel around and go to these different places to play.
Yeah, so that's known in hockey as being a suitcase. So if you're on the ice and you're one of those players, another guy on the other team might have that be like a chirp. So I was kind of a suitcase in the American League. So basically how it worked was, like, I was not on an NHL contract. I was never drafted. I was a free agent. So what I did, I signed in the East Coast Hockey League after my Merrimack College senior season. So my next year I played in the East Coast so I signed with the Reading Royals in the East Coast. And then basically you're a free agent, so anybody can call you up. And so what would happen was, is if you get called to Binghamton or Lowell or Toronto, they send you up there on loan and you sign an AHL contract with those guys. And then you're basically on loan to that team. And they can basically send you down any day that they want to. So that's kind of how it was for me. I never got to the point where I signed an NHL contract, and I was never like part, you know, like property of one specific team.
But I guess another sort of follow up question to that. So I mean, like, it looked like in 2008-09, you had to play for three different teams in the AHL. Did you play against guys who you had played with earlier that season at any point? Like, what was it sort of weird?
Yeah, like, you, for sure, like, you'd play. yeah, I mean, it was pro hockey. It was kind of cool. You know, you'd play with guys that were, you know, one day you'd watch them play on the NHL, and then the next day they get sent down, and then you're playing against them in the American League. There were situations like that. There were situations where, you know, I was in Reading, and I got called up to Toronto, and maybe like another buddy of mine would get called up to Wilkes-Barre or Hershey from my same Reading team, and we'd be playing against each other, you know, that season. And then we might end up playing on the same team again later on in the year. So that was common as well. So it was kind of an interesting experience, you know, being a professional hockey player. It kind of changes the way you view like the sport a little bit. But
So you've been in New York City for the past while. I mean, so I know you've been doing like rollerblading and biking around. Has that been easier lately with self-isolation going on?
Oh, yeah, with COVID? Yeah, New York City's kind of been crazy. It's been a crazy experience down here with COVID. Yeah, so I've been living in New York for a few years, and it's been my home base. And it's been great, you know, as far as like what I'm doing, because I get to travel from here and move around. And then obviously now with quarantine and the COVID, it's going to become a bit more challenging. For a while, I was telling everybody, like, really, there's no other place I'd rather be quarantined than New York City, because, you know, you step outside and you're in New York. It's become increasingly more difficult in the last few weeks. They've really locked it down pretty hard. For a while, I was able to go to, you know, the parks that were open. I'd go to the basketball court by myself and, like, you know, rollerblade and, you know, make videos, promote my business, you know, socially isolation, of course, and, like, doing my thing. It's become harder and harder, but making the most of it, you know, trying to do my best to stay as healthy as possible and be as active as I can and, you know, put out good work. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Do you have any advice, anybody trying to find a good rollerblading spot in their town?
Yeah, I mean, like, I personally, like, you know, you can go to a basketball court if nobody's using the basketball court, and those sometimes are really good. The tennis courts have a pretty good surface as well, as long as no one's playing tennis. Those are two good spots that I, you know, would go to train. Yeah, check those places out. Basketball courts, parks, tennis courts, things like that.
What kind of rollerblades have you been using?
I've been using my old Nike Flylight Flexlite 18s or Flexlite. Yeah, I think they're Flexlite 18 Nike boot from like way back in the day, from like 2003. And I took the bottom, the skate part off the holders, and I put on a Mars Blade frame that I had for a couple of years now. So I got basically a custom job that I'm doing. It's pretty nice.
What's the style of the boot? Is it like the Fedorov style? Is that what it sort of looks like?
Or? I can show you if you want.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, so I got, like, here's the Nike Flexlite 18, which I always liked this boot. It was a really good boot back in the day.
Yeah.
The old Flexlite Nike Bauer back, you know, when they did their thing. And then I got the Mars Blade frame, you know. So what I did was I took the bottom holster off, and then I had a pro shop actually help me with it. Drilled holes where we needed to drill and, you know, put the rivets in and mounted up the Mars Blade. And the Mars Blades are nice. They got some nice roll to them, as you can see. And they got that nice flex. So, this has been a nice skate for me for the last few years.
So, you played in college and obviously went on to play professionally. Do you have any advice for anybody who might be in, like, late middle school, early high school right now, you know, looking to make the jump to that next level?
Yeah, I mean, I get this question a lot from kids. And one of the things that I find that I'm hearing a lot from the young players is there's, like, a real – I guess like an anxiousness or anxiety to, you know, they want to achieve something when they're young. And I understand that feeling, because I remember being young and not really knowing like the path. Like, I don't understand how I'm going to get to where I want to go. And, you know, I wasn't like a superstar when I was a kid. I was decent, but, you know, I had the dream too. Like, I wanted to play at the next level. I wanted to play college hockey. Of course, I wanted to play in the NHL. And I didn't know what I was going to do to get to that level, to be honest with you. And like, my advice to the young players is, you know, you gotta decide when you're young, like, if you want to be a pro hockey player or you want to be a college player, like, you need to make that decision for yourself, and you need to focus every single day on, like, what do you need to do to improve yourself and season your game for when you get older. But you have more time than you think. Like, for me, you know, I graduated my high school in Buffalo and then took 2 years off in between high school and college and went and played junior hockey. So I didn't get to college until I was 20. And, you know, I didn't know when I was 15, like, you know, what kind of person, what kind of player I was going to be, you know, 5 years later. But my advice to the young players is, like, you've got more time than you think, but it's, if you can build up the body of work and, you know, teach yourself to be a disciplined, you know, athlete at a young age, as young age as possible, and just don't give up, you know, keep the dream alive. Don't let people talk you down and say that you can't make it. You know, it's a cliche. I had everybody you know, nobody thought that I was going to be a Division I hockey player, let alone play pro or do, you know, have a career in hockey. You know, it was a crazy idea for me to believe that that was possible. And so it's no different for any other kid. It's the same thing. Like, don't let people tell you you can't be something, but you know, you're not going to just get there. It's not going to be easy. You know, if you're going to make it, if you're going to get to somewhere cool in hockey, it's going to be a real struggle. But the struggle that you go through is what's going to be, it's going to change you, and it's going to make you into, you know, the person that you're meant to be. So you got to face it head on and don't quit and, you know, work as hard as you can and, you know, avoid those traps, avoid those, you know, the things along the way that can be distracting. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's a pretty great clip. So just one, I have one final question, then I'm going to let you go. But, So obviously you're still working in hockey. I mean, what does that mean to you to still have a career in hockey after playing for your entire life?
Oh man, it's literally like I'm living the dream. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously I wanted to play in the NHL, win the Stanley Cup and go in the Hall of Fame. Like that was what I wanted to do when I was a kid. I didn't, you know, I was kind of a gear hound. I never thought when I was a kid, like it wasn't even something that you could think about to like start your own hockey business. And, you know, again, like I was saying in my last answer, like, things will happen if you chase after something really hard and you really go for your dream. Things are going to unfold that you can't even envision that will happen. You know what I'm saying? Like I did this happened because I was chasing after playing in the NHL and I was chasing after playing college hockey and playing, you know, going to play junior, living on my own, you know, grinding it out junior B, you know, playing junior A, getting traded, going through these like really difficult situations led me to the point where, you know, all of a sudden starting a hockey business, like, it happened. And then, you know, and to have a career now where I get to wake up every day and live in hockey and be in hockey and, you know, do podcasts with you and talk hockey, you know, it's literally like living the dream. And, you know, I'm really grateful for it. And every day I wake up and I'm really excited to do stuff and to get to work. So yeah, it makes me really happy. And, I'm excited to be here talking to you about it, man.
All right, I lied. I have one more question. It's going to feel like elementary school, get to know you stuff. But who was your favorite team growing up and who was your favorite player?
My favorite team. So I'm from Buffalo, New York, and my father took me to the Boston Garden when I was a kid. And so I fell in love with the Boston Bruins and I kind of liked going against the grain. I was in Buffalo and everybody's a Sabres fan. And I was a diehard Bruins fan. And my favorite player was Ray Bourque as a defenseman. And also my father, again, he worked for a Finnish cheese company. And they had a player, they sponsored Timo Salani. And
so my
father got to do some projects with Salani from a marketing perspective. And I remember one day we went to Boston, we went to a Bruins game, and after the game, or I forget if it was after the game or it was the day before, I remember, but we got to go out to dinner and have dinner with Timo Salani. It was super cool, man. And he was like the coolest guy ever. And I still remember that. I still kind of remember that dinner. And so right after that, like, Timo became my favorite player. You know, ever since that moment. So Timo Salani and Ray Bourque.
Was that when was he in Winnipeg or Anaheim? Or I mean, San Jose, Colorado.
I'm pretty sure it was Anaheim at that point. Yeah, it was Anaheim. Cause I remember we went to the game and I remember I was also a Paul Kariya fan, you know, being a college hockey fan. And I remember watching Paul Kariya at Maine and I remember seeing Kariya at the pregame skate. So it had to have been Anaheim at that day.
All right, that's really all I have. Again, thank you so much for coming on. It was really awesome.
Appreciate you having me on, Sean. All right, we're going to hopefully get